St. Paul, the first hermit, pray for us. St. Maurus, pray for us. Our Lady of Prompt Succor, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Well, children, each of today's saints, there are three of them, as we just mentioned, has a very fascinating, very interesting story. But together, all three of these saints teach us one very important lesson. Now, the first saint, St. Paul, the first hermit, he lived in very dangerous times, in the first 10 persecutions of the church, and he lived when the Emperor Decius was persecuting all of the Christians. And for quite a while, Paul lived in a house. He hid himself in someone's house, a person that he knew, and there he quietly practiced his faith. He wasn't afraid, but he practiced his faith and said his prayers and did his penance and was a good Catholic, a good follower of our blessed Lord. But eventually, he found out that his brother-in-law wanted to turn him in to the persecutors. And so, what did he do? He hurried off into the desert. And he went way, way out into the desert until he found a cave. And this cave was used at one time, during the time of Cleopatra, to make coins, make money. And that's where all the money makers went. And so he went there to live. And he only wanted to stay long enough to be safe from all of the persecutors of Christianity. But then he began to love that solitude, that quietness so much. And all the time that he could spend praying to God and doing penances, and in other words, just being a good Catholic, a saintly Catholic, that eventually he never wanted to leave it. And he didn't. For about 100 years he lived in this desert. But then one day, many, many years later, there was another hermit, St. Anthony of the Desert. And he had all of these terrible temptations to pride and to vanity because he had served God for so many years in the desert, again with all of these terrible penances that you and I would never think of doing. And so he became a bit prideful. Well, that night, St. Anthony fell asleep, and God gave him a vision in his dream. And he said, well, there's this other man who lives in the desert who serves me very perfectly. His name is Paul. Go and see him. And so for 2.5 days, St. Anthony walked through the desert. And they say an interesting story here. They say that along the way he met what is called a centaur. They say it actually existed, whether it was something that the devil, some kind of vision that the devil gave or something like that. But in any case, it was half man and half horse. It was, you've probably seen pictures of that in cartoons or comics and things like that. But he actually saw one. And it told him where St. Paul was living. Well, as soon as he gave him the information he needed, St. Anthony made the sign of the cross very devoutly. And that awful being vanished. And finally, St. Anthony was able to find St. Paul living in his cave. And St. Paul, when St. Anthony arrived, he knocked on the door, no answer. He knocked again, no answer. And he was there waiting for some time, but Paul was in his cell praying and talking to God first. And eventually he came out. He answered the door and had a nice smile to greet his guest with. Because God had appeared to Paul, too, and said that St. Anthony would be coming. Well, then they started to have a very edifying conversation. And all of a sudden, I think most of you children know this story, all of a sudden, this big black raven flies in into where they're sitting and just drops a loaf of bread, a whole loaf of bread, for them to eat. And St. Paul says, see how good our God is to us? He has sent us dinner. And he said, for 60 years, this same bird has brought me just a half of a loaf of bread. But now God knows that you're here and a half a loaf isn't good enough. So he sent a full loaf for the two of us. And so they sat down and they ate and they spent the night in prayer. And then the next day, St. Paul told St. Anthony, go and bring back this cloak that St. Athanasius wore. I want to be buried in it. And so St. Anthony did. But before he returned back to the cave, St. Paul had died. And along the way, St. Anthony looked up into the sky and he saw choirs of angels, many angels, and the prophets and the 12 apostles in the sky. And they were taking St. Paul's soul into heaven. And it was a very beautiful sight. St. Anthony went on back to the cave and he saw the dead body of St. Paul. He was still in a kneeling posture with his arms extended as if he were praying. So St. Anthony said all of the prayers that the church once wanted him to say over a dead body. And then he wondered to himself, well, how on earth am I going to dig a hole to bury him in? I have nothing to dig with. And all of a sudden, God showed him the way. Two lions, it said, came running across the desert, roaring, and they were sorrowful too, it said, that they actually showed sadness at the death of St. Paul the Hermit. And they began digging, and they dug a hole that was just big enough to fit the body of St. Paul. And that's how he was buried. You see how good God is to his servants. Well, the other saint today, the second one, is St. Maurus. He was the first follower of St. Benedict, and he was only 12 years old when he entered the monastery, but was already much holier than all of the other monks, even the old monks. He worked many miracles, but the one miracle that he is most famous for is this one. One day, one of the other monks, St. Placidus, it was his name, he was out to get a pail of water from the lake or the river, whatever it was, and he slipped and fell in. And all of a sudden, the current just shot him out into the middle, and he couldn't swim to get back. So St. Benedict was in his room praying, and all of a sudden he had a vision of what was going on outside. God had told him in a vision. And so he commanded St. Maurus to hurry up and go out there and rescue Placid. So he did, right away, and he walked on the water all the way to the middle of the water and picked up St. Placidus and carried him back. And that is how he saved St. Placidus. St. Benedict, or rather St. Maurus, attributed that miracle to the prayers of Benedict, but St. Benedict said, no, it's because you hurried up to obey my command. Obedience is always the best. Now, the third saint that I'll tell you about before ending this sermon is the greatest of the saints, our Blessed Lady, and she is called today Our Lady of Prompt Succor. Now, what does that mean? It's not a lollipop. Don't even think that, children. Prompt Succor. Prompt means immediate, right now. And succor, in this case, means help. So it means that Our Lady comes to help you right now. And that is truly what she is. You see, there was once a group of nuns from France. They moved down to Louisiana, pretty close to one of the chapels that we serve down in Louisiana. And they didn't have enough nuns. So the one nun, the mother of the house, requested from the local bishop to get more nuns. The bishop said, no, we can't afford to do that. We're short-handed because the French Revolution was going on at the time. So the nun only had one thing left to do, and that was to go to the Pope. Well, the Pope was a prisoner of the Emperor Napoleon. And in those days, because remember, there was no email, there was no post office, so it would take a long time for a letter to get from one place to another. Well, in any case, she wrote to the Pope, and she told Our Lady of she said to Our Lady, if you get me a prompt reply, then I will have you honored here in Louisiana. So she sent off the mail, and she got an immediate reply, almost immediate, and she got her reply just in time so that she could get all the nuns she needed to help her out in Louisiana. And so Our Lady of Prompt Succor came through. Now, remember how I said there was one lesson that they all teach? Have you noticed the one word that's been mentioned for all of these saints? Hurry. Prompt. Right now. Saint Paul had to hurry off into the desert to escape his persecutors. St. Maurice had to hurry up and run out to the water to save his fellow monk. And Our Lady of Prompt Succor gave an immediate response. And that's our lesson today. Not to hurry through our work as if we just wanted to get it done so we can go and play, but rather to hurry to do God's will. That means don't put off doing God's will. Now, children, what's the best way for you to know God's will? Through the commandments, yes, the commandments of the church. But the best way for you to know God's will is by listening to mom and dad, what they tell you to do, what your teachers tell you to do, and your priests. That is God's will. And so whenever your parents or teachers or priests tell you to do something, don't say, well, I'll do it later. Do it now. Hurry to do God's will. That's the great lesson of today's three saints. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.